something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey Dude, the 90s Called podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, David.
Hi, David. You're so formal.
Well, you didn't say your name.
I mean, no, people know. Sorry, I'm Christine. But I like the way you say, welcome to Hey Dude, the 90s Called podcast. I like it. It's very formal.
Oh, because I told you you had a good intro voice.
No.
Now you're telling me I have a good intro.
No, you just have a good, like, you just go right into it. It's good.
Have you ever listened to Dax Shepard's podcast?
My God, you know what's so crazy? No. And that I just had this conversation with my brother, Brian, who, by the way, shout out, today is his birthday.
I was going to say happy birthday to Brian.
What? How? You were not.
I was. I came up on my Facebook. I wished him a happy birthday, but
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I was going to say, how do you have Brian? You got my birthday wrong. You wished me a happy birthday last week.
I was going to bring up that story too. Very embarrassing. My calendar popped up. It said Christine Taylor's birthday. So I wrote Christine a whole message. I hope it's a great day. Happy birthday and a year ahead. And she goes, my birthday's in July.
I said, I think this might have been meant for someone else. Like, I thought maybe it was another Christine that you know. And then you showed me your calendar screenshot and you said, my computer's never wrong.
And then I said, are you sure? You're like, yeah, I'm sure.
But I did take your good wishes for a good day and a good year. And so far, so good.
Well,
so,
it was an early birthday wish, but happy birthday to Brian Taylor.
Yes. Today. I mean, for the listeners, his birthday will have passed. So if anybody's out there listening who knows Brian Taylor, his birthday already passed. Yes, today's his birthday. And I am very excited because and we'll talk, you can talk about our guest because I know she's a friend of yours, but my cousin, my first cousin, Kevin Taylor, is, I think, officially her number one fan. And I got a message last year or the year before from my aunt saying, do you happen to know Candace Cameron? Because it's Kevin's birthday. And I thought it'd be amazing to get a signed autograph or a picture or something for Kevin for his birthday. And I felt terrible. I responded. I was like, I don't know her at all. Like, I have no connection.
Oh, really? You never met Candace?
No.
Wow. How is that possible?
if we had met, maybe it was at an event or something, but I didn't. It's that weird thing where you're like, I don't want to just randomly go reach out to a rep about somebody who's like a cousin of a thing. It always right. sounds lame. And so now I get to meet her and tell her how much my cousin loves her. And then maybe even when all is said and done, have a contact to get a signed picture from her at some point.
I think this is like the perfect opportunity. Yeah, man.
I'll be like the star player. I'll be his favorite cousin from this moment forward. He's also actually happens to be like a big, huge Hey Dude fan. And they went to the Tankaverde Dude Ranch years ago to just to see like the old abandoned sets. And so
wait, my cousin, is he much younger than you?
He's about 10 years younger than me.
Wow. Yeah. So he must have been so psyched that you were his cousin during those years.
Yes, he was. They didn't tell me they were psyched about it. I found it out years later, but right. How are you all over there?
We are all good. The rain stopped finally. We have two kids away and we only have one kid. Chelsea's at home and, we just had so much fun with her. We saw the Bob Marley movie the other night. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh my gosh. It was so intense. So amazing. And we did some hikes. We just really had a nice long weekend. Chelsea had 2 days off of school, Friday and Monday. And we really just hung out a lot. It was so nice.
So nice. Oh, I see. Okay. Candace is here. Yes, we got our big red alert. Candace is here. So should we invite her in? I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, let's come in. Candace Cameron Bure.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Candace.
Hi there.
Hi. It's great to see you.
Great to see you.
It is so good to see you. You look at your beautiful setting, that color behind you.
Oh, it's thanks. Gorgeous. This is my podcast set, so makes it easy.
Oh, and look at our podcast sets behind us. Just white walls and our weird houses and pianos. That's so beautiful. It's so nice to have you here, and it's such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. You too.
I just think you're the greatest. And I was telling David before we logged in that my cousin, my first cousin, who's about 10 years younger than me, like is so madly in love with you. He's very happily married with kids, but he like has loved you from his youth.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not kidding. Like a year ago, my aunt reached out to me and was like, do you have any connections? Do you think we could get a signed autograph? I was like, I don't know. No, I don't have any connections at all. And now look, now I have a connection.
Now
and
you maybe, have a connection. Maybe I'll get on to whatever you want. I'm happy to do it.
I can't believe you guys have never met.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
It's really crazy.
But I'm really happy to meet you.
It's such a pleasure. Let's talk about you two. What is your history? How do you and David know each other? I want all the dirt.
We did a TV. Do you remember, David?
Oh, Candace, I looked up on YouTube last night. I think it's called Kids in the Woods. Yeah.
With a Z.
Right. It was a play on like Boys in the Hood or something.
No, it's not. No. Wait, what was this? A TV movie?
It was a TV movie. It was directed by Neil Israel, mm-hmm. who had done the movie Bachelor Party. You remember with Tom Hanks?
Of course.
And he was married to Amy Heckerlein. But it was Candace and I, and it was a whole like slew of...
It was all like the kid actors that were either on TGIF or whatever shows. I think Tatiana Ali was in it.
Alfonso
was in it. Like, it's hilarious to go.
I love that it was a kids, KIDZ in the woods, WOODZ as well. Both were Zs.
No, I think it was the woods was a Z. I just looked it up. Honestly, I have
to see this.
I have a scene pulled up, but I think we'll just maybe post it. I can't show it to you yet.
It's funny.
We were in Vancouver for a summer, right? Like during our hiatus.
Yeah, I remember that was like the first movie. Oh, maybe I'm getting them mixed up. No, I'm not. That was the first movie that I went to Vancouver on my own. Like my mom didn't accompany me because I think I was 17 maybe. And so I was like, Mom, like, can I be an adult, please? And she let me. I think we got into a little bit of trouble.
It was so much fun. I think it, yeah. It, listen, I've done movies in Vancouver during the winter and it's rainy and gross, but like that, our movie, it was beautiful.
It was.
What is the premise of this? Is it just kids romping around Christine, the woods? Kids, KIDZ.
Christine, tell Ben that Dave Thomas from SCTV was the lead in this movie.
No. And
who's the girl from Newhart?
Julia Duffy.
Oh my God. Like comedic geniuses.
Oh, such comedic geniuses.
I don't think I've seen that movie since it aired. I think I watched it once back in the day. I couldn't even tell you the premise. I really don't know.
Just kids in the world.
At a camp? What was happening?
If you go on YouTube, which I did last night, you can pull up. There's so many clips of it. Oh, I mean, YouTube is incredible. Like they find everything. Yeah. But I think it was some kind of summer trip with students. And and then Candace's character kept, I had a girlfriend, but she kept coming after me and I was so rude to her. I mean, like literally, I got to show you a clip where she's like, she said, I sit behind you in math class. And then I go, oh yeah, you have that smell. And you're like, oh, it's a new perfume.
And then you insult her.
I insult her like over and over again.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Teenage boys. Was this the 90s? Let's get to it. Was this like early 90s?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, this was early 90s for sure.
It was fun. It was so, I mean, Darius McCrary, what a great guy. I loved him.
Yeah, we had fun.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Candace, I did an episode of Full House, and we had...
I was going to say, I feel like there's a... We did some other stuff, too. I'm like, which episode were you on of Full House?
I know, because we had Jody on, and you and I are about to go on a date, or you're helping me. It was called Take My Sister, Please. And you were trying to get us your own bedroom or something, and like... I'm in your room and we're doing homework and I invite you out to, I'm about to ask you out on a date. And then Jody comes in and starts hazing me, like trying to just sabotage the date.
Oh my gosh. I'd have to go back and look at that episode.
Yeah, it's random. But I remember being so nervous. It was one of my first jobs, like Christine after Hey Dude, it was one of my first network roles. And Candace and everyone there were so seasoned and so calm. And I was so freaking nervous.
Wait, did we do the movie first or do the Full House episode first?
Oh, no. The Full House thing was way, way before the movie.
Oh, way before. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, how young was I dating on Full House? Man. Yeah, right.
Exactly. We must have been. I mean, it was high school years, but yeah, you were super cool to work with. And
nice. Thank you.
But you guys were so seasoned and so calm about everything. And, you know, when it's one of your first guest stars, you're so like, oh, my God, am I doing this right?
I know. It's when you grow up in that, especially on a sitcom, when there's a live audience, it just feels natural. It's what you do. And, you know, we did Full House for 8 years. So you become accustomed to it. But once I was finished with that show and then worked later and would go on to other people's set, whether it was single camera or audience, you then know what it feels like to be the guest star. And it's so scary.
Isn't it? So it's the worst. It's the worst. It's no matter what your resume is, no matter how much work you've done or how much you've earned your spot there, you feel like such an outsider, right?
Yeah. I did an episode of Boy Meets World, and it was probably one or two years after Full House ended. So I think I was like 19 or something, 19 or 20. But same thing. I'm like, I've been doing this my whole life. Everyone is great on that set. But once we got to the tape night and the audience filled in, I was like, I don't remember a line. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm not funny. I suck.
Your nerves get the best of you.
So was Full House, I mean, first of all, just coming from, a family, your brother, and was Full House your first big job? Were you doing commercials when you were much younger and sort of on the circuit, and then Full House was the big thing?
Yes, exactly. I was a veteran by the time I got Full House. I'd already been in the business for 5 years. I had done quite a few commercials. And then I was on a show called St. Elsewhere, which was like a really popular, like before.
Yes.
I was like a I played someone's daughter on that. So I was on several episodes of that. I was on an episode of this show named Alice. That was like one of my favorites as a kid. Do you guys remember that? Mel in the Diner.
Of course. Mel Kiss My Grits. Wasn't it Kiss My Grits? Yes.
Like, I think I was 5 or 6 and I was on an episode of
that. Oh, I loved
that
show.
Yeah. And then it was on a couple of episodes of Growing Pains, my brother's show before Full House. So I did have quite a bit of experience before Full House, but that was the big breakout role.
But right. Growing Pains was before Full House, right?
Yeah, it started, I think, 2 years. It might have been 3, but I think 2 years before Full House.
I got to just tell you that my goal in life was to be your brother.
Oh, I remember, David. I remember this. You were so into Kirk during it. You were like, he is the fun. Like, he is. Watch what he's doing. Look at what he's doing. I remember you showing me the series, which we'd all seen. But you were like, he is a genius. What he is doing. Like, you loved him.
Because he was playing me. I related to that character. Right. The charming guy that just gets out of everything because he's got, you know, he knows, he uses his charm. But he and Michael J. Fox at the time, I mean, I would record those episodes of Growing Pains and I'd watch them over and over when we had VCR tapes. Mm. And my goal in life was to be a sitcom star like your brother. Wow. He was so freaking good. Mm-hmm. And he brought us so much joy from that show. And then for you to follow in his footsteps, I mean, what was it like seeing your brother become a huge star like that?
It was cool. It was weird. It was right. Like all of the above. You know, our family, we weren't really a show business family. So because we lived in LA, we started auditioning. It was like someone was like, oh, your kids are cute. Here's my agent's picture. And my mom was like, okay, we'll try this. And we kind of fell into the business. So it was like pretty crazy that my brother then got this sitcom and then was like on magazine covers with Michael J. Fox and Jason Bateman. And he was like, you know, this heartthrob person. So at home, it's like, that's my dorky brother.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Are you in love with him? Right. All the girls that are like buying pillowcases with his face on it.
And right. Plastering the magazine covers on their wall.
We legit though, at one point of the height of my brother's stardom on the show, we had turned part of our garage in the back to a makeshift fan club that we like legit, not only did we have a like letter openers and we're opening all of this fan mail, like thousands and thousands, like 10,000 letters a week. But then we would have like a little mailer that we would send out to people. And like, we were like, my two sisters and I, we would clamp buttons that had my brother's face on them. And we would like send a photo with a button to all of them.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I love that you guys were doing it on your own.
We were.
There were companies, I'm sure, that did those sorts of things.
Not back then.
But you know, back in the 80s, and it was like my mom cared about the fans so much, my mom and my dad, and they felt the responsibility to reply and,
right.
You know, and then at one point it just got so overwhelming. But yeah, we were like little child laborers in the back making buttons with my brother's face
on. Oh, that is so funny.
I love that you gave respect to everyone that sent the letter though. That's so cool.
Yeah. So, it was fun. It was fun in that regard. And it was fun to see my brother just light up the screen and people loved the show. And, you know, I think my favorite memories were going to the set of Growing Pains every week because they taped usually, I think, on a Thursday or Friday night. So that was so exciting to go and watch every live episode with my sisters and watch my brother. It was really fun. And then, you know, it was, and then I was on, I think, 3 episodes of Growing Pains, which was super cool before I got DJ Tanner.
Wow.
So you were well versed and trained by the time you got the role on Full House. You watched your brother, you acted on the show.
I had a little experience, so it didn't feel, I wasn't I wasn't scared of it at all. Right. I'm like, oh, I've already done this and hopefully this will be fun. But you know, when you even get a pilot, you never know what's going to happen to them. And that was the so same true. With Full House. We right. Everyone's like, okay, John Stamos is here. So this has a good chance of getting picked up and going, but you just kind of never know.
Wait, John was coming off of a General Hospital? He was General a big Hospital. Star. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So he was the star. He was the big star to carry the show at the beginning.
Exactly. I didn't know when I booked the role, we had our first table reading and I had no idea who was associated in this sitcom, like at all. I think we knew that the creator was Jeff Franklin and that was it. So I kept asking my mom, like on the drive over, who's in this? Who's in this? And she's like, I don't know. So when we
walked, wait, and you were how old? How old were 10. You at this point? Okay, 10. 10. Okay. So you're asking your mom.
Yeah. When we got into the room, and there were so many people because it was all the writers, the producers, the directors, the network. And it's just a lot of faces. And you get really scared, like, oh, you know, you're going to read the script, but it's intimidating. But there sitting across the table from me was Blackie from General Hospital. Oh my gosh. I was only 10, but my sisters were huge General Hospital fans. So they were in love with him. And all I could do, even more than just doing the read through, I just wanted to get home to my sisters to tell them, I'm doing a TV show with Blackie. Right.
Oh my gosh. And was that for you? That was it, that like you knew you had at that point you had gotten the part and you, or you, that was part of the audition was with him.
No, that was after I booked it. Okay. I auditioned a couple of times, but that was, I booked it. And then we had our first table reading and then shot our pilot like a week later.
My name is Johnny B. Good. And I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's just talk about the experience of Full House. I mean, the show is so iconic, and it, like, 30 years later, it's still, people love it. But like, did you know there was something special? And what was it like, you know, being in that experience?
I'm still in the entertainment industry today because that was such a good experience.
Right.
Like, could not have had better people around, especially being a kid. And, you know, I'm sure you're talking to people on the show. But we hear like so many stories that a lot of kids don't have good experiences. And we all felt so, just so blessed. So such a gift to all of us that we genuinely had family people around and everyone was in it to create a fun show and do a good job. And at least that was my perspective as a kid. But I think that if you talk to anyone from the show, they will tell you the same thing. And it just felt magical what Jeff Franklin created, who he cast on the show. We all just hit it off. And it was just, there was so much love for 8 years on that show between all of us. I was like, except for maybe John and Bob, like season one. And then they like figured it out. But they, you know, John talks about that all the time. But it was so good. It was so good. And it's why I still love doing it today.
Did you feel pressure though? Because we had Jody and we had Andrea on, right, Christine? Andrea
yes,
was on here.
Yes.
Yeah. They both said that you guys were so protected and so taken care mm-hmm. of on that set. But we've had other actors on that were younger who felt a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
For, you know, if I don't get the laugh, or they're going to write out my, you know, I'm not going to get, you know, the storylines. Did you ever feel yeah. that? Like I'm not getting my laughs or the pressure of that?
No. And I've heard those stories too. And that it hurts me internally so much to hear those types of things. I think I at least never felt that way, but I never had anyone speak to me that way. No one ever came up to me and is like, hey, you need to step it up, or you need to make sure you get this laugh. Like, we were never spoken to by anyone on the show like that had, you know, authority in terms of producers or a director. So it was all very encouraging. And they also set us kids up well in that. We had a great dialogue coach that would help work with us. And so we were, you know, I'm sure Jody already talked about this, but Jody knew everybody's lines at 5 years old. Like every episode. Like, you
she
could
was
just,
a firecracker. Yeah.
It was awesome. But like, we were all, even as kids, we were all on top of our game. And half the time, everyone was laughing because we were way more professional than John, Bob, and Dave. You know,
yes, that is, I think Andrea said the same thing. Yeah. She was like, we as kids, we were the ones who were like following all the rules.
Come on,
it was
we
the
have
adults.
A job to do.
Yes,
right, John,
exactly. That we're cracking
lines,
jokes
man.
And busting
like,
each other up.
Yeah, we say like, we have school to do too. We're doing two jobs here. So come on, people, let's make this work. Like,
and then you worked with, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley. Yeah. I mean, I did a show with them later. I played their uncle in a show called Two of a Kind on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
For one season. But I mean, they were infants, right?
I know. Yeah. I think they were like 9 months old when they started the show. until they were 8 or almost 9.
So how would you shoot their, you know, their lines or their reactions or whatever? Was that done separately?
We had like 2 really heavy tape days. So we would pre-tape before the live audience day. We would pre-tape a day before, and all the pre-taping was all the kids' stuff, and particularly any baby stuff or animal, you know, Comet, the dog right. stuff. So we would always make sure that we had that in the can. But yeah, it was like Adria Later was the like baby coach or baby wrangler. It's such a weird name. And you know, it's like when you go get your portrait taken, there's someone behind the camera and they're just got little toys and they're like trying to make a baby laugh. And like that's what Adria would do. And then as they got older and they were started to have lines on the show, she would just like tell him, "You got it, dude. You got it, dude." And they would just repeat her. And so we would do a lot of pre-taping the day before so that when it came time to the audience, if we didn't get it on audience night, we already knew we had it.
Right. Yeah, I did a movie a few years ago where there was a baby involved, and it was just so fun. And it was a low budget movie, so it wasn't like you didn't have that wrangler person but it was the mom. And of course, but it was really about like, okay, which twin is in a better mood at this moment and can handle it. And they were sort of always sort of both on call of like, nope, not working for this one. We're putting the other one in.
And exactly.
It was a fascinating thing to witness.
Yeah.
And you know, for the mom, it pained me so as a mom too. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh my God, you know, just like I wanted so much for these twins to take it home for her, because you could just see her. She's like, oh, please do it. Please do it. Just
right. So right. I know.
Nobody's going to get upset. I would not
want the pressure as a mom.
No.
Of like, oh, you hope your child performs well.
We asked Jody and Andrea this too, but I'm always so fascinated because that age for you to start the show at 10 and finish at what, 17 or 18?
Yeah.
I mean, that is your... Those years you grew up on everything changed. Your body's changing. You're changing your likes and dislikes and boys
social,
and all of it. And how were you able to manage that as someone who was on a huge hit television show and also just, you know, being a teenage girl, like just going through those changes?
I mean, looking back, I think I managed it as well as I could have. But there's certainly things that I can look back on and it's like, ooh, or you know, I'm glad that my own daughter hasn't had some of the pressures or experiences. And again, mine were really good. And like, I have a really great supportive family. So does Andrea. So does Jody. So I think that is another huge reason why
crucial,
the three of us are still working and love this, because that is like a huge component to have your family or whoever your primary caretakers are in your life to really be looking out for you and your best interest and not to say yes to everything so that your career can succeed.
And right. It's not always about the next thing. And I think you're absolutely right. For a lot of kid actors, it's really the parents are driving. You know, we've talked to people where that was the case, where the parents were making the decisions and there was not a lot of agency or discussion. But when you have, you know, family members that are all about just what is best for you, for my child in this moment.
Yeah.
And let's enjoy it for what it is. And that's what it really sounds like you all had.
Exactly.
Candace, were you ever enrolled in a regular school, or you just did completely on the set?
Yeah. I did a combo of both. When we first started, I remember I still went to like sixth grade, and then I was going to junior high school and I wanted to have that experience, that real experience. So I was taking some classes in the morning And then I would go to work. And then when we'd go, we're down for on hiatus, the extended rest of the school year, I would go back and then take all of my classes. But that proved like by eighth grade, it was horrendous. I got really bullied by the kids in the school because on like a TV show that everyone watched, and yet they just all made fun of me. And it was like, it was so awful.
I would have thought the opposite, that everyone would want to be your friend. And
Think,
but I don't think kids at that age, I think there's jealousy. It's it's the feeling of like, oh, this person, like
she thinks she's better
she's so
than
much
us.
Better than us.
Yeah.
And it's it's that preteen. And all they can, the only way to manage that is by making fun of the person. Like, because you're the outsider.
Right.
We're not going to like you because you're different.
That was exactly it. So by ninth grade and above, I was pretty much just tutored on the set. And then, you know, finished my last year of high school, still doing the show.
Wow. Those are some important years, but.
I know.
And when the show finished and it was like, okay, high school graduation, I'm, you know, this next chapter of life, what was, did you know you wanted to keep going? Did you feel like you wanted to do something else? You know, we talked to Mayim, who, you know, on Blossett, she really wanted to go to college. She wanted to have that experience. You know, where were you at that point?
I was so happy to finish high school. I was like, no,
no more school.
College. No more school.
No more academics. I so hear you.
I was not that girl. I was not the academic one. So the interesting part for me is that I met my husband during the last year of the show, and I was only 18 years old. So it was prime for me in that I couldn't have made the transition any better because we got engaged, like, you know, we dated for a year, got engaged. And so once the show ended, I felt like, oh my goodness, I'm going to start this new journey, like a new season of life in that I'm going to be married and
have a family
maybe. And I still wanted to work, like, you know, at 18 years old, I'm thinking, well, I'm still going to work and do all of that at the same time. And then realize like, oh, can't do all the things all at the same time. Always some things have to just, you know, you got to set aside. But so the transition really was easy in that I wanted to keep working, but I met my husband, we got married. And then when we did start a family, which was like 2 years after we got married, I just realized I actually didn't want to work so I could be home more with my kids to raise them. But it worked out pretty well. We've been married 27 years.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, wow. I mean, that's really, it wasn't like high school sweethearts, but it almost is. Cause it was like right out of high school, that period of time.
And TV person could get that high school experience and get married. Like, he is my high school sweetheart because neither of us really had a high school experience. He was a pro hockey player, so he was on a different journey too.
Yep, the sports.
How did you guys meet when you're 18?
Dave Coulier introduced us at a charity hockey game.
Oh, no way.
In LA. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, totally funny. And then we went on our first date, and the very next day after we met, and Lori Loughlin was my wing girl because I was like, he asked me to go to lunch. I've never been on a date with someone I don't know. Will you please go with me?
Oh, no way. Stop she went it. On your first
so,
date?
So Lori went with me, and Val's brother was there too. So the four of us went on a date. But I mean, talk about full circle with my Full House family. Like, they, between Dave and Lori and Bob and John, like, just being protective parents, uncles, whatever you want to call it. Like, they're, I mean, a huge part of my life in that next season of my life, even just as the show ended.
Oh my gosh. Life imitating art is so, I mean, it's really crazy. I mean, Dave played the role of your real uncle, introducing you to your husband. I mean,
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So I want to get into all of you. You know, you've written several best-selling books, but how did the Fuller House come about?
Fuller House was amazing. I wish it hadn't ended. It was such a fun time in life. Oh my goodness. It was, you know, one of these crazy thoughts because we were one of the first shows that came back.
Right. And probably that, like, we talked reboot. To Jody, you helped Netflix quite a bit, I think, at that time.
Yeah, reboots were not a thing at that point at all.
No, we were one of the first. And I don't remember all of the details, but it was like Jeff Franklin, John Stamos, and Bob Boyette, who is the original. I mean, they were the Bob Boyette and Jeff were the original creators and production company that did Full House. And they were like, we're going to pitch this. Are you guys all interested in doing this? So they talked to me, Jody, Andrea, you know, Dave, Bob, Lori, everyone. And we are like, yeah. And so Jeff came up with the concept of Fuller House, which was basically just flipping Full House in that now I'm married, my husband's passed away, I've got three boys, and I need my best friend and my sister to move in to help me raise them. And it was brilliant. And so we went around and pitched to every network and they all said, no, like, we don't think people remember the show.
Oh my gosh.
Even though the show hadn't been off the air in 30 years, but they were like, no, I don't think there's enough fan base out there anymore, all this kind of stuff. And then it was our very last pitch. We went to Netflix and a couple of the execs really liked it and they were like pulling for us and they pushed it forward and they said yes. So,
I think Andrea told the story that like, it, because it was the last pitch and you guys had pitched it, it was like, everyone was sort of like, oh my God, like so not into it at that point because you'd been said no to so many times. And there were like all kinds of like, she said, I think like I was went to the wrong place or like there was all sorts of confusion and no one was caring at this point because it was going to be a no again.
Yeah, and exactly. Have it,
right?
Yeah, because it was Jody, Andrea, me, John Stamos, Jeff Franklin, and there were a couple other executives there in the room. But like we were going out and pitching this and pitching this. So it wasn't like they just knocked on the door and were like, hey, want to do a Full House?
You guys went into pitch meetings as an entire cast?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yes, we did. And so, yeah, so it was like, yeah, by Netflix, we were like, okay, good. This was a good try. This was really fun to get together and hang out for like the last month
doing
all these pitch meetings. But we figured it was over. And then Netflix gave us the green light. And that became some of the best years of my life, which is still really recent. Although it ended in 2020. And thankfully, in the sense that the world changed after 2020. So we just kind of, we ended the show right before the pandemic had hit. But man, it was so much fun to get back together, like to get the band back together. It was, I would do that job with those people every day for the rest of my life if I could.
Was it the same soundstage? The exact same?
Yes.
Oh, what a trip.
Yes.
That is just crazy. Serendipitous. Like it is just, you couldn't write it more perfectly.
I know. Truly, truly a gift.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you, I want to just talk about Bob Saget for a minute because I was friends with him for a long time and we had many mutual friends, but I hadn't talked to him in a long time. But my daughter, Chelsea, had her camp friends coming to visit from New York. And so I reached out to Bob through our friend Mike Young. He said, can you get us tickets to Fuller House? And not only did he get them tickets, he got them onto the stage and to meet all you guys. And he was one of the sweetest people I've ever known. And I didn't know him as well as you, obviously. But yeah, talk about your relationship with Bob, because it's just his passing was devastating to everybody.
Yeah, it really was. Bob was one of my best friends. He was one of the closest people to me in my life. And so the loss was so great and so difficult. But everything that you said, Bob was so generous. He was so loving, so kind. And if you asked Bob to do anything, he'd be like, yep, I'll make it happen and go above and beyond. And it didn't matter who you were, how well he knew you, if he sat next to you on an airplane or whatever. Like, Bob was just that guy that would just want to make people happy because it feels good to be generous. It feels good to be kind, and it changes someone's day. And Bob just always knew that. And I think Bob just appreciated, because Bob had a lot of loss in his life. There was a lot of heartbreak in his life. So he appreciated all the moments in his life, big and small, and wanted to help bring that joy to other people in their lives.
so beautiful. And what I, you know, I've shared this before, but the couple of times that I met him, but he loved my mother-in-law and spoke at her funeral. And, but they shared such an irreverent sense of humor. And that was what I think was so funny, is because Bob was on Full House, which was so family and so clean cut that you behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law, who had the same kind of, potty mouth. It was like they would sort of swap insults and but it was all love, and it was so funny. So funny.
Yeah, I know.
What a special relationship.
Yeah.
It that really you all was. Got to have with him.
Yeah.
I have a crazy question. I don't mean to say this is a question that is a total segue. And I feel like we've had guests on the show before who have done this, but I need to ask about doing Dancing with the Stars.
I love talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Good, because I'm obsessed with it. I feel like it is probably like the scariest thing you could ever possibly go into.
You've not done it.
I have not done it.
You need to do it.
I live in total fear of it.
Yes, you do.
I feel like it would be the scariest thing, but I'm obsessed with I love all of the human interest stories. I love the relationships with your partners. So how was that experience for you? And did you have did you have to think about it a lot, or were you a fan of the show and you just immediately were like, yes, I'm doing this?
I was a huge fan of the show. And before leading up to that, I think I had been asked to be on every reality show, celebrity reality show possible. And I said no. I've said no to every single one of them. I'm like, it's just not my thing. I don't really want to be a part of it. However, if Dancing with the Stars asks me, that is an immediate yes. So I waited. Like, I kept calling my agent going, can you just let them know I'm interested? Let them know I'm interested. And I think I waited like 5 years or something because I wasn't on Full House at the time. Like, I was still in my stay-at-home mom phase, but I had just started to get back into the business. So I waited very patiently. And then when I got the call of like, hey, they'd like to meet you and come on in and see, you know, if it might work for this season, I was like freaking out. And it was, so there was no hesitation or reservation. I wanted to do it so badly, but I did not know. I did not realize how difficult the experience would be and life-changing in the best of ways.
That's like, what I feel like I hear from everybody.
How? Life-changing how?
So, I mean, depending on who you are and what you're familiar with, it pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Yes, I would,
so much. And like, for me, I'm not a dancer. I have no background in dancing or training, but like, I like to dance at a wedding, you know? I used to love to go to the club when I was 18. Exactly. That's about it.
Yep.
And so, so when you get, you know, paired with a partner, I loved my partner. It was Mark Ballas. He was wonderful. And he was
so sweet. Like, he seemed like the sweetest.
Sweet. Yes. Yeah. All the things. Cause I was like, I don't want drill sergeant. Like, I can't, that's not.
No valet. No. Yeah. No. Tough love won't work for me.
Yeah. Tough love doesn't work. I need like.
Love.
That was great, Candace.
Yes. I need to hear how wonderful
you're doing
I am.
Great.
Yes. Like a little child, just tell me how great that was. My improvement. So anyway, there was just so much growth because what I didn't know how much the effort was going to be. And I truly wanted to improve as much as I could because I realized I was not really a good dancer. And so they give you specific amounts of time that you can train. And then within the progression, if you go along from week to week, they'll increase your time that you're allowed to practice.
To be in the studio, right?
Okay. So like the first few weeks that you're on, they only let you practice for 4 hours a day. But by the time you're probably at week 6, 7, 8, they give you up to like 8 to 10 hours. And I was there all the hours because I needed it.
Wow. So like, that's a long day.
Yeah, it was draining, but it was exciting. And the live audience thing and the live show totally freaked me out. I don't know what I did in my mind. I realize now that I have a lot of like panicky issues when I don't feel in control. So I learned that on that show.
Hold on. Who would not feel panicked to go out and dance in front of a live audience and TV cameras? Anybody in the world would be nervous.
By the way, with judges. Let's add that into it. Yeah, with a lot of judgment coming right afterwards. Like right after you've like poured your heart out, done your, and then you get to just listen to everything you did wrong. Or right in some cases.
Or right. That's the good thing, that even within the constructive criticism, the judges on that show are always encouraging. They're always going to find the good things that you did do, and they will point that out. So that's why that show is also really fun. And you know, once I got through it, I actually like mentally went downhill by the end of that show because I was like, get me off this roller coaster. I'm going to throw up before every single show. Like I freaked myself out.
And you kept going.
Out.
You made it to
the finals.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yes.
With no dancing experience. That's unreal.
Yes, because the other thing is there, even though there are amateurs, there, you know, if you have a figure skater, that's a dancer. Right. Like there are people who are dancers, even though they're not performers. Yeah. Yes, who can move their butt. But then there's the real, like, you know, like non-dancers. And that was amazing. And I would imagine, but I imagine you never thought you would go that far. I'm sure you wanted to.
Because I think I was in the bottom two every single week until like the semifinals. So I always thought I was leaving every single week. Oh. And then I would somehow get saved or the fan vote audience saved me and I stayed alive. So it was crazy. There were a lot of people that were much better in terms of dancing that should have stayed. But that's also the fun thing about that show, it is that it isn't always about the best dancer. And there have been, you know, several seasons where by far the best dancer does win, but some that haven't. And some it's just because there's a connection with the audience. There's a connection through the arc of the performance and where you started, where you've gone, the journey that it takes you through. And that's the heart of that show. And I think that's what the viewer really loves, is going on that journey.
Yes, seeing that person's growth and the vulnerability that you see. Like, I feel like, and it doesn't feel manufactured. I know that when cameras are there, people know, but you really, in that, I feel like in that scenario where you're just sort of like blood, sweat, and tears in a studio out of your comfort zone, like, you are really seeing raw emotion.
Yeah, no, it's all pretty real. It's not manufactured. You need to do the show. You have to do the show. I am encouraging that. I am just putting that out there because
we'll talk about it. I will have a big long talk with you about it.
I'm sure you'll want your family there in the audience first, but I will be your first friend to sit in that audience and cheer you on. I promise.
Yeah, well, you'll be the one responsible for it if that happens, for sure. Yeah, no, thank you for indulging me in that, because we've had some guests on and we just haven't gotten to it. And I was like, I'm asking Candace about this today, period.
Yeah,
I get the life changing experience now. Yeah, I mean, it's not just leaving your comfort zone, but it's challenging yourself.
I came off of Dancing with the Stars, went all the way to the end. And it was only a month or two after that that I got asked to co-host The View, which I signed a 2-year contract to co-host The View with them. And like, I would probably never would have even considered that, because that show is out of my comfort zone. Like, I wasn't looking to be a talk show host.
Now you're fearless, right?
But I'm fearless. And it was because of Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, if I could do that, I can do anything. I'll learn this. I just learned how to dance. I'll learn how to be a talk show host.
Yeah, that's the benefit of leaving your comfort zone and challenging yourself. You can then go to another level and not be scared. How was The View? Was that a good experience?
It has its ups and downs. It was a challenging one too, and I'm grateful for it. But I was very happy the day that I left.
Oh, really?
I feel like that's sort of the general consensus when people who have left The View, that I feel like there is a sort of rotation of, you know, of ins and outs on The View. And it feels like everyone always is sort of like, I'm so grateful for the experience. I'm so glad I did it. And goodbye. Yeah, I'm really happy that's over.
I'll be happy to just sit in the chair as a guest.
Yes, yes. All
right. Five shows a week of very opinionated different people. Yeah. That's got to be, that's challenging. Was Barbara Walters there when you did it or no?
She actually was there a few times right when I started, but not full time anymore. So I was at the table with her, I think twice. Mm-hmm. And then she had stepped away from it.
Yeah. I mean, I always love the idea of that show, you know, bringing people, especially in this type of environment, bringing people of different backgrounds and different political views together. But it's cool that you did that for 2 years. I mean, what's
next?
You
have had such an eclectic career. You really have.
Four books. She's an author.
I know. And you don't stop. The work is still going. And how old are your kids now, too? Because I know you started young.
I did. So, yeah, my kids are all in their 20s. And my son just got married a couple weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
What? Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations.
It was so exciting. It was so beautiful. They are just a wonderful couple. We couldn't be happier. But it's like, this is now a whole different season, because now I'm like, when do I get grandkids? Which seems like a crazy thought, but I'm like, I'm so excited for when that day comes one day, you know? It's this whole different thing when your children are now adults, and it's wonderful. It's so wonderful. Oh,
that's amazing. My daughter is going to be 22 and just adopted a cat. So I'm a grandma to her cat. And I feel it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
I feel it. I feel this responsibility where it's her responsibility, but I get to come in and be the cool cat grandma. So so you get to do that with real humans soon. But congratulations. Yes. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I love that you face all your different phases coming off of Full House and going into marriage and kids and now just with such optimism, and it's all exciting, right? It's all your attitude about it.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you for that. I feel very, very blessed in all the things that I get to do. And I think that's how I've always looked at it, that I've had wonderful opportunities in my life and wonderful people around me, and doors have been opened. And I'm like, wow, I have such a well of gratitude in my heart and in my life for all the things that I've been able to do and that I continue to do. And I genuinely love what I do, and I have my hand in a lot of different things, but you know, it makes life really beautiful when you're able to incorporate your work into your passion. Or your passion into your work, I should say. And that's what I've done with my life. So I'm grateful for all the things. And yeah, and now I'm like, you know, sitting as an executive at our network, Great American Family, which is wonderful, and producing movies. And we have new ones coming out this year. So I'm producing many of them that I'm not starring in, but just produce them as well with my company, and have my podcast as well. And lots of things I could keep talking about. A great movie coming out in theaters on April 26th called Unsung Hero that I can't wait for audiences to see. It's such a beautiful movie about the Smallbone family, who you would know them from the band For King and Country and Rebecca St. James. And it's their family story. But lots of things. And I'm just grateful for all of it. And I just truly enjoy it and love it.
Ugh, well, congratulations. I mean, we could keep talking to you, like you said, about all of those things.
We have to let you go.
We do have to let you go. But I just love, one thing I wanted to say is that I love that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the next chapter. And I noticed a couple of times you said that in this next season, or I'm in this next season of my life. And I love that. I love looking at it that way. Right? Yeah. It's just such a beautiful way to look at it. And I really couldn't help but think that when you talked about how Bob, who you loved so much, appreciated all the, like, I really feel like I hear that in you too, just about, like, you know, just appreciating the littlest gratitude moments and the biggest moments. And this was such thank a treat you to talk to you. Really so
thank
much
you
fun.
Guys, thank you for asking me to be on. I really appreciate it. I
you
so
were
do
like a
I was
dream
so
guest
happy to get your Instagram message.
I know, Christine, I DM'd her on Instagram. I'm like,
I know, David, go. David was at, he, you were a dream guest and David was going to make it happen for us. So
thank you so much,
no,
Candace.
Thanks guys for asking me. Yeah. And good luck with everything. I love catching the podcast and
thank
you guys have
you
such favorites on. So it's, you know, and this is our era. So it's just like,
totally,
I love listening and
so
listening to everyone's journey. It's really fun.
What's the name of the movie again? Because I want to see it.
Unsung Hero.
Okay. And that's, it's going to be in theaters. Yeah. Yes.
In theaters, April 26th.
Oh, fantastic.
So cool.
Yeah.
All right. Congrats. And thank you so much, Candace.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks.
I may find you to get a signed picture for my cousin at some point.
Please do. I can just DM you all my info.
Perfect.
Just look in your DMs. Yes. I'll send you my number.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Thank you so much, Candace.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I really love our interviews.
That was so fun.
They like brighten my whole week.
I know. That was actually so great because it's just, I feel like with so many people and a lot, we have a lot of friends on too, but when the people that I haven't met, but have just grown up with and known over the years and, you know, it's such a neat thing to just like have them be as cool as you think they are. You know, like
you
in a sweet
Candace,
and real.
I think would be good friends. I it's hard to believe that you haven't met all these years, but
I know.
I mean, you guys had a great rapport and she's super cool.
I really got to catch that kids in the woods. Kids in the woods.
Oh, you know what I want to do, Christine? I'm going to ask iHeart how I can get a YouTube clip on our social media. Because the scenes with Candace and I watched them.
I'm sure they can figure that out. We've got technical people that are capable of that.
They are the technical people. Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, that was awesome. And thank you, David, for DMing her and making that happen. That was
terrific. Honestly, Christine, anyone we asked to come on here is like, yeah, of course.
I know. So, we've been very lucky.
So nice.
And I think we've got a fun one next week too. I was just looking. So, so come back and listen next week, everybody. And thanks for joining us on Hey Dude, the 90s Called Podcast, the way David likes to say it.
And we'll see. We got to do something from 90s Con too. So that's coming up as well.
Yeah, coming soon.
All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon.
This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.